From the Tie Cats Audio Network, this is Tie Cats Today with Steve Milton.
It's Thursday, April 25th. This is Tie Cats Today, and I'm Steve Milton. We're joined by, and we want to thank, Enoch Penilaye, who's back for a second season at linebacker for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Enoch and I will talk about winning a Grey Cup ring for, the Argos, playing football for McMaster, and how a man born in Ghana, who grew up in the shadow of New York City, playing college in New York's Mohawk Valley, ended up qualifying as a national, meaning Canadian, for the CFL draft. And oh yes, one day after this year's CFL draft, next Wednesday, Enoch will be getting married. Welcome to Tie Cats Today, Enoch. I appreciate you helping Tie Cat fans to know you a little bit better. Both as a football player and as a man, you've had an interesting journey. So let's start with, you were born in Ghana. You grew up in Tuckahoe, which I believe is right across the Bronx River from New York City. You played some college ball for Union in New York State. How did you end up playing at McMaster?
That's a funny story, Steve. Growing up in New York, one of my closest buddies was actually Canadian. And I did, like you just said, 2 years in New York at Union College. And at the time, he actually came up here to attend UBC. And my family was relocating again. So my father works for the United Nations. Mm-hmm. So they were relocating to Armenia. I had a little bit of a decision to make. I was like, well, do I want to stay here? Do I want to pursue school somewhere else and education somewhere else? But I ended up speaking to my buddy, and he was like, you should really consider some schools up in Canada. So I did. I contacted McMaster. Mac really caught my eye. Excellent football history to pair with the academics. So I wanted to find out more. I spoke to some faculty. I spoke to head coach Greg Knox at the time. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to him. I think I sent out like a highlight tape. There was some communication back and forth. I really just kept trying to find out as much as I could. Ultimately committed to Mac and had an amazing experience there. Graduated 3 years ago. So that's how I ended up here.
What'd you graduate in?
With a humanities degree.
Right.
It was philosophy and biology, kind of like a dual major there. So interesting
philosophy
mix.
Philosophy and biology. That's an interesting combination as well. And so you come up here from Union, and I'm going to just take a second here and give us a little local sidebar. Now, Union's located in Schenectady, New York, and they play football in the Division III Liberty League. And that league's actually sent some players to the CFL over the years. But Union is Division I in hockey. And there's a Burlington connection there. Josh Juris, a one-time star with the Burlington Cougars, was a star at Union in the early 20s, and 20-teens, I should say, and had a really good NHL career. And he's still playing professional hockey in Europe. But, okay, enough of that. So,
interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, there we go. A little bit of, I've got a lot of useless trivia up in this small brain here. So,
keep it coming.
All right, man. You'll get tired of it after a while. You say, somebody shut it. So, Enoch, back to you and Union. You were also on the Union track team. People may not know that. I think you won some regional sprint titles, if I'm not mistaken. And you were a running back on the football team. And you came to McMaster as a running back. But you switched to linebacker and then to defensive line. Now, how did that whole progression come about?
Yeah. I think it was one of our early scrimmages. I think this was my first year. So I was actually ineligible because of CIS rules or U Sports rules, where I'd actually played the last game at Union. I played, and there was an overlap between, like, I think it's a year gap between that. So that would have been like maybe end of November and then starting back up August, our season. So I tried to sit out a year, but we had a scrimmage. I came here as a linebacker, like you said, or running back, transferred to linebacker, and then ended up playing D-line. We had a defensive end go down during one scrimmage.
Right.
We were short there. So I think coach was asking who could play who could play D-end or something. So I volunteered because I had played some end as well in high school. You know, I was somewhat familiar with it. No, what was that?
No, sorry, I interrupted you. I was going to say linebacker is your position of choice, and I assume the one that you're most suited for?
Yeah. I would agree that I'm more suited to play linebacker. Size, athleticism, all of that. But the big thing that I found transitioning into the league was the pace of the game, a little bit faster. So, you know, I think there was a bit of a learning curve. But now I feel like I'm starting to get it, and the game's starting to slow down for me each year. Going to my third year now. So, you know, looking to make the best of it and go out there and do my job every day.
We call that part of inside football, that whole idea of the game slowing down. Can you feel it when it happens, when the game, I mean, particularly at linebacker, and I guess on special teams, which you know, has been the bulk of your work, I think, and it's, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of things to react to on special teams and linebacker too, because it's a reflexive position.
For sure. For sure. I think you can feel it. You can feel it. For me, I think I feel it more in my decision-making. It feels like you have more time to dissect as the play progresses, right? So it feels like you end up, you know, in a better spot. You feel like you can actually see things develop a little bit better, which is what I've been noticing every single year. So, you know, I'm just looking to keep improving in that aspect.
And your coaches say that you are, from what they tell me. And I want to backtrack a little bit here. You were born in Ghana, and you played football, your high school football, and 2 years of college in the U.S. But there's a chance to qualify as a national for CFL roster purposes if you've played at least 3 years of U Sports in football and have graduated.
Right.
How did you actually find out that you qualified for the Canadian draft?
Yeah. So that takes me once again back to Mac. A lot of things circle back to Mac.
Often does.
One of my coaches, Corey Grant, who is actually head coach at Carleton right now.
Right.
He's a head coach for the men's football team there. He had mentioned to me, he was like, "Hey, E, there's a new rule. I think it was instated the year before my draft or something. They implemented the rule." Yeah. He was like, "Hey, I think you should really look into this. There's a possibility of you becoming a national because you've been at Mac for whatever, I think it was 4 years at the time." So he told me about it. It really caught my attention. I was like, "Huh, that's interesting. I hope it works out that way." And yeah, sure enough, it did. So although I qualify as Canadian, there's a technicality in that rule, which you just said. So yeah.
So, but you aren't a Canadian citizen, are you?
No, I'm not. My wife is Canadian, so hopefully, I'll be around. So,
Right. So, you were in that draft. You were drafted by the Argos. Sorry to mention that, Ticat Nation, in 2022 out of Mac in the third round, 26th overall. And in September of that year, you scored a touchdown on special teams for them. How a thrill, I would assume, especially on a team which had so many, really laden with CFL veterans and was headed for a Grey Cup. I imagine that had to be a personal highlight.
Yeah, no, it definitely was, especially considering the circumstances of the game. You know, we just wanted to kind of put Sask behind and, you know, take that W and walk off, go home. So I just remember feeling, it was just electrifying. I was like, man, this really just happened. There was like a brief minute where I was like, it was super surreal. I couldn't really, I was like, oh, did that really just happen? I just scooped and scored just like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sure enough, it did. And then
I remember seeing the replay
of the sideline.
Was it Smith, the guy that ended up being sort of the hero in the Grey Cup that made that tackle? And
it was Robbie.
Yeah.
Robbie stripped the ball. Yeah, I was in the right place at the right time. Yeah, scooped it up, ran as quick as I could.
Well, don't be too hard on. I was going to say, I think you're not giving yourself enough credit there. You got to be in the right place to be at the right place at the right time. You've got to have the right
positioning. Sure.
So that year you played, I think, in 15 games, and I gather mostly special teams. Although you didn't play in the postseason, the Argos won the cup. Did you get a ring?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a ring?
I did get a ring.
Oh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Now, got a nice ring to show.
Have you worn it here? I mean, I don't know how that.
I haven't worn it. No.
Given that elation, you had the ring, but the following season, last spring, you were among those painful. I mean, that's the most painful day for coaches too, but particularly for players. You were among those painful cuts on the last day of training camp. Boy, that must have been a devastating blow. And how did you handle it?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. It was really tough. I think I actually got the news about an hour before the team meeting. So it's like an hour window between cuts and then the team meeting. Mm-hmm. So part of me was like, oh, man, maybe I did make it. But, you know, you find out you didn't. And honestly, that's life. Mm-hmm. I took the lesson from that. and I said, okay, this off season, what can I do to get better? What did I learn? How can I improve in those areas? And you know what? Honestly, I feel like it was part of God's plan. And, you know, I think I took it pretty well. But in the moment, it was definitely devastating. Don't get me wrong. You know, because we work so hard for this, right? Day in and day out. This is what we think about. This is what we work towards. So it definitely hit me hard, especially like the following week after, you know, and I had just gotten engaged too. So I was like, oh man, well, this is not ideal, just being engaged and then not making the team. But I kept my head up and, you know, just kept working. I really kept working. Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to wait all that long, right?
No.
I mean, maybe I can tell you what somebody had told me, and I don't know if it's true, and I'm going to ask you to either confirm or deny it. But now, for one thing, you'd already been on the Ticats radar. They knew who you were, and they ran into a serious number of injuries to Canadians last August, and they signed you. But I understand you were actually working for the pharmacy that the Ticats used at the time. Is that true?
That is true. I did.
What
Marchese.
Like, you're not a pharmacist.
No, I'm not a pharmacist. So they had opened a new position called it was a drug strategy coordinator. That was the name of the position. Mm-hmm. But harm reduction was a huge part of that position. And, you know, just like many cities, there's a history of drug use, right? That comes up. And people unfortunately fall into bad habits with drug use. Part of that position was, you know, making resources available through Marchese Pharmacy and through Marchese Healthcare,
right,
for people that need those resources and helping them access those resources. A big part of that was naloxone kits, right?
Right.
Which Marchese produces on site as well. So they make their own naloxone kits, and, you know, they distribute them to also a lot of local organizations. I think like the YWCA, for example, Mission Services, a few. But yeah, that was a key part of that position. And helping out too with general, you know, some everyday stuff too around the pharmacy.
Well, it's funny that, you know, this had never occurred to me when you had first mentioned this part, when we were kind of talking about you taking philosophy and biology. It's almost like a marriage of those two things, that job, the way it sounds.
It is.
Like, it's social concerns and all of those kinds of things. Let's switch back to we'll go back to the field again. Linebackers tend to be the heart and soul of special teams, and the Ticats have lost Brent Sopik, Bailey Feltmate, Brent Sopik to the Argos, Bailey Feltmate,
Fraser,
fired, and sorry, did I say Brent? I meant Fraser Sopik, Bailey Feltmate, and Nick Cross moved into last season. All of them Canadians. Now that would seem to present you with a very, very big opportunity at training camp, if for special teams alone.
Mm-hmm.
Does it? Do you sense?
Yeah, no, definitely, I sense that. I mean, it's kind of mixed feelings because you came in with those guys. You know, they're great guys too, great leaders in their own way. But it's football, right? Every year, it's not guaranteed. You're going to come with a whole new group of guys. But it did click with me that, oh man, you know, a spot or two might be open. You know, this is it. I got to make my impact and go out there. And like I said before, go out there and do my job, right? Understand what I'm doing and contribute.
Right. And I didn't mean to concentrate just on special teams. So we'll go to another prong in the fork of opportunity, if you want to put it that way. Well, I did anyway. I just put it that way. With Jordan Williams obtaining a trade from the Argos to start at one linebacking spot, it helps ratio decisions to have some Canadian backup depth there. Do you sense another chance for yourself in that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the chance is there. The only thing that comes to mind with that is you got to earn everything, right?
Right.
So I'm going to put my best foot forward, do everything that I can to the best of my ability. If the coaching staff determines, hey, you're ready for that, you know, you can take on a backup spot, whatever, you know, I'm going to be elated, right?
Do you feel you can?
I think I can. It's just going to be a matter of, like I said, making sure everything is up to par on my end, right? Doing and controlling what I can control to show them that, you know, this guy's ready.
Well, you are a football player. You can only control what you can.
That's it.
Control, right? We hear that mantra, and it's an important mantra, of course.
Very.
Let's turn back off the field again for a minute. Now, you did some work as an intern for a United Nations program in Armenia. Now, how did that come about and what did it entail? And do you have any other projects like that that you're interested in?
Yeah, so that came about. So my parents, like I mentioned, relocated to Armenia.
Right.
And I think this was summer of 2018 or 2019. Right. But I wanted to go home and I said, well, what am I going to do besides train? I don't want to just sit around all day. Right. And my father told me, he was like, well, I know UNIDO, so United Nations Industrial Development Organization. He was like, I know UNIDO's looking for some interns. Why don't you apply? I'm sure I had a leg up because he's in the organization,
right,
or as part of the UN there. But either way, I applied. I got the internship position. And I was there for, I think it was 2.5-3 months. It was an amazing experience, really getting to delve into what makes that organization special. And one key project we looked at was the development of the automotive sector in Armenia. I actually gave a small presentation to a few leaders in that sector at the end of the internship, looking at how we can better streamline a few things when it comes to transportation within the inner city. It was a great experience for sure. And great to put that on a resume.
Transportation in the inner city. Maybe you should be giving Hamilton City Council a call.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Now, May 12th, the first day of formal training camp is looming on the horizon. And we know mm-hmm. how you'll be spending the 2 weeks after that, of course. But how do you spend the next couple of weeks until then? That's just kind of like an itchy period for football players, particularly veterans, which you are now, because you kind of know what's coming.
Yeah, definitely. First off, I'm getting married on May 2nd.
Oh, congratulations. So
thank you. Yeah, that's, we figured this was going to be the best time to do it. So we're going to do that. But aside from that, like you said, itchy feeling, like I'm really making sure, my body's ready, my mind is ready. Getting a head start in that playbook, the coaches, coaching staff, as always, they do such an amazing job making everything available for everyone. So like I said before, you get out what you put in, right?
Right.
So guys can really get a head start. So that's what I'm focused on now. Even after this, I'm actually going for a quick special teams meeting. So, trying to get familiarized before everything happens. Because I find, the faster you can play, obviously the better off you are. And if I can know things now, get a good feel for it, I'll be better off.
It's interesting you mention that, because one of the things that Scott Milanovic mentioned when he was on here was the whole idea, when you said faster, the faster you can play, he feels that you've got to be able to, this team has to up both its physical size and toughness, but also its speed. And I don't mean just outright speed. We're talking about the ability to do things at speed. Pretty important, right? And it takes a while for each individual and a team to sort of develop that. So
yeah, no, very important. I mean, yeah, Scott's made that clear. He told us, you guys need to be running, you need to be prepared. You know what you got to do, and that's what they expect of us, to show up prepared. So,
okay, well, we'll let you get right back to that preparation. And now that we know about it, preparations for your marriage, and congrats again.
Yeah.
We want to thank Enoch for giving us his time, and to you listeners and viewers for giving us your time. It means a lot to us at the Ticats Audio Network. Drop in again for tomorrow's episode and come back again on Monday to look ahead to Tuesday night's CFL draft and the annual draft party. That's usually a pretty good blowout at Tim Hortons Field. This has been Ticats Today, and I'm Steve Milton.
This has been Ticats Today with Steve Milton. Catch it on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.